T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Other people start interviewing me, and we start struggling. We're going to point at those guys. It's their struggle, it's not ours, you know? They jinx it.
And the Phillies lead for the first time in this series, 4-3.
We're going to blame Lou Maloney.
That's a wait. Did that start last week? Because it's a pretty good week, Alex. Or does it start tonight for us?
It starts tonight.
Red Sox 5-game win streak comes to an end.
Oh,
that's too much. That's too much pressure.
Dale Arnold.
How many sour pusses do you have anyway?
Rich Keefe.
No, not your mommy.
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hey, facts are facts.
0-1.
0-1.
0-1.
I mean, you can't deny. Alex brought it up a week ago, visit with him, and he said, look, if things don't go the same, you know, you got to look at things.
It's a superstitious bunch, the Major League Baseball player, and 0-1 with OMF interviewing Alex Cora. So numbers don't lie.
Don't blame us.
Nope, that's what it was.
For what these nitwits say.
We'd be happy to have Alex on. If he wants to join us next week at noon 30, we'd be happy to have him,
Dale. Oh, noon 30, that'd be
the perfect
time. I'd bring
on Cora at noon 30. Yeah, sure. That'd be fine.
Like I said, they lose about once a week, and I mean literally. They're now 11-2 in the month of August, and
right,
you know, what are we, August 16th or whatever it is. So about once a week is about it.
Now, you did say yesterday, if they went 20-21 the rest
yes,
of the way.
Well, it's still possible.
I know. They're kind of on their way. There's still just a mere 106 wins if they did that.
If they go 20 yeah. and 21.
Is the
and,
pace
well,
not,
now, yeah. now they only have to go 20-20 the rest of the way.
20-20 starting tonight. They go an even 500. Or no, starting tomorrow. They got the off night. If 20-20 and they're going to be sitting there at 106. But you're going to say, ooh, 500 ball the last
that doesn't
month
look
and
good.
A half. That's not good.
We'll talk some baseball later on in the program. Obviously, as you just heard during the award-winning
jam-packed
trending. Now,
there's a tone there when he says that.
Well, the tone is this.
Oh.
It's just a constructive criticism. We're friends enough
Dale,
now.
No criticism is constructive. I'll be honest.
Rich Keith. I mean, there's a certain way you can.
Mark James.
Get into the whole thing. It would give a little more oomph to
it. I should say my name more during the trending. You're right. That's a good point.
But
it's a place to brand myself.
As you did say,
yeah.
Preseason football tonight, Steve and I were just joking about it. And by the way, I am so thrilled that Steve D'Ossi is back on this radio station.
Oh, me too. We worked with him last week when you were out. He was great.
He is one of my favorites. He is a brilliant football analyst.
Yeah.
By the way, he handled himself pretty well on the political analysis this
sure.
morning as well with
sure.
Alex Reamer. But I love talking with him. I love talking football with him. And he's going to join us tomorrow for the whole show. He's going to be with us for all 4 hours. He said, I guess that means I got to watch preseason football.
That's right,
tonight.
Steve. At least enough to talk about. I don't know if you're going to watch every single second, but I think a lot of fans do, Dale, just because, you know, there's position battles there. There, you know, it's once a week still, so it's still appointment viewing, I think. Like last week preseason game, even without Tom Brady starting and even without the, you know, a backup quarterback that could one day become the starter, you don't have that like you did the last handful of years. It's still football. Like, there's still something about it where you tune in, even during mop-up duty, you're looking for, as a fan, is there a Malcolm Butler out there? Is there a guy that's going to make this team? So you still end up watching. You know it can be ugly at times, and it can turn into just a real mess. But
look,
start of
the game, I'm there. I can't wait.
You're locked
because
in.
I'm going to guess that you hit the second or at least the third quarter, you're probably not going to see much of Tom Brady.
Well, I hope Brady does not play the whole first quarter.
I would be shocked if he does. I would guess, I'm just guessing here, a couple of series,
yeah.
get your feet wet.
That's
you know,
fine.
Get out there, get some action in. Now, if the two series are horrible, if they're 3-out and 3-out.
Based
you know,
off of practices, they could be.
Could be.
If he's,
he may lobby to get some more playing time.
Yeah.
But
then you got to take that away from him. He said no. Because there's two more preseason games after this. So he doesn't need to play a ton, but who knows what they'll decide? Because then, what else do you really want to do? Do you want a lot of Brian Hoyer? You need a lot of Danny Etling? Like, I think for the Patriots, this is one of those years where Tom Brady himself doesn't need the preseason. He doesn't. But he has so many new receivers that he probably needs to get some live reps with those guys. You know,
they
at least
looking for Eric Decker the whole time.
Right? You're like, does he run the right route? Does he catch it? We've been hearing about all these beat reporters saying that Eric Decker has the drops during practice. So can he remedy that in the games? Plus, who's even going to be healthy enough to go? It feels like their receivers are not. It's not a healthy group, Dale. You know, Kenny
I don't know if
you
noticed. Running back, not a healthy group.
No, they got a lot of guys that are pretty hurt. So who knows who's even going to play? But that would be one thing for sure that I'd be looking for is Brady's connection with specifically the new receivers. If he goes out there and hits Julian Edelman a few times, great. I know they can do that.
Yeah, you don't need a preview of that.
No, like, oh, great. Every third down, he hits Edelman for a first down. Okay, I know that can happen. But what about some of the other guys? Does Cordell Patterson get in the mix?
See, I'm not even counting on him as a wide receiver on this team.
But who is, though?
No, I understand. He may get some time.
I don't think
it's
he's
like
that great
Matthew
either.
Slater's a wide receiver,
well,
right?
Well, Patterson's more of a receiver than Slater.
But I think Cordarrelle Patterson was brought in here primarily to be a kick returner.
No, true. But even that has been the importance of that is really down across the league based off of the new rules. I don't think on a perfect team, he really shouldn't be one of your top receivers. But on this team and in the first 4 weeks of the year, he may have to be. You know, depending on the health of Philip Dorsett, I don't know how great he would be. The health of Kenny Britt, I mean, they are not really loaded at that spot. That's been a big topic throughout the entire preseason here.
I guess the other thing that, and it is the most boring thing to talk about.
So let's do it.
But I'm more concerned about watching how the offensive line performs.
Well, that's true. I mean, could Trent Brown, is he going to be a guy that, you know, you go from Matt Light to Nate Solder to Trent Brown? Like, is it going to be that easy where you have the starting dominant left tackle?
You just brought up a great point.
Thank you.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All summer long, we've talked about departures here. We've talked about, you know, Deion Lewis, who's in the Globe today with Ben Volen, talking about how they didn't want me anymore.
I know.
You know, Deion
sure
Lewis
didn't.
And Danny Amendola. And we've talked about
Cooks.
Have we even mentioned Nate Solder? And probably the biggest departure of all of them. And
probably,
I don't mean physically. The single most important departure is your starting left tackle.
Yeah, because we've seen when the offensive line does not look good, even when you have Tom Brady, go back 4 years ago, the offensive line was terrible early in the season, and Tom Brady did not look very good. They had to solidify that offensive line. Remember, Brian Stork was a big part of that. He was his rookie year. He played center. All of a sudden, the tackles started playing better. And he had time, and he could get rid of the ball, and he looked good after that. Trent Brown, you know, we had Andy Harden here a week or so ago, and everybody talks about how big Trent Brown is, and that's an obvious statement. But if the Patriots want to go no huddle, if they want to go up tempo, he wasn't so sure that Trent Brown would be able to do that. Like he's a monster of a guy, but if you got to play this quick pace, not that he's going to tap out of the game, but is he going to be letting guys fly around him? Like that's something that. And you're not going to really get the sense necessarily in the preseason because he's not going to have to play the entire game. But, yeah, that's a huge – like the offensive line, I think we have an idea of there's about six guys for five spots. And how is that going to shake out? And I don't think it's going to be the best offensive line in the league, but it needs to be at least good enough to keep Brady up.
There are individual little storylines.
Jacob Hollister, I know you're excited to see.
Well, not as much as
you. See him dominate a little bit.
Not quite as much as you are.
Good player.
Look, I know Lane Johnson is trying to make us care.
Oh, my God. It's just.
Lane, it's practice. We're watching.
Super Bowl rematch.
Practice.
It's a glorified practice is what it is. They get to put the uniforms on, which is nice, but it's still a practice.
And Steve was just saying the coaches would rather have a joint workout than an exhibition game. In other words, Belichick would get more out of, if the Eagles and Patriots had a joint workout today, he'd get more out of that than he will out of this game tonight.
Oh, yeah, because then you can stop and start things. And I mean, I think there is something to be said about these live, you know, plays and like, you know, the quarterback no longer has the red jersey and there's actually tackling. Because one of the big issues in the NFL is how bad the tackling is. And part of that is they never really do it in practice anymore. So you need a game situation like this where you can't just play a month of football and then week one of the regular season is the first time people are tackling each other. Like that would be pretty ugly.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of fumbles. Like guys, it wouldn't be the same. You're playing two-hand touch in practice.
I actually think that the preseason, the exhibition schedule is more important for defensive players than offensive players.
Probably.
You have to get your body used to tackling people.
Well,
you
and now with the helmet rule on top of it.
Especially that.
Another reason. But yeah, you need to. You can't just go through the motions or, you know, run through these these, you know, two-hand touch walkthroughs. Say, all right, I'm in the right spot. It's like, well, yeah, you're in the right spot, but now you got to wrap up a guy who's not going to let you tackle him. Like, you have to make a play over there. And so that's what you get. I still don't think you need four preseason games to figure that out. You could probably do it with one.
You know who wants four preseason games? The owners.
The owners do, because they get the two home games, too.
Because it's regular season ticket prices, which is an abomination.
That's insane.
It is absolutely ridiculous that you make people pay regular season ticket prices to watch a glorified practice.
Right. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
And you don't even get a choice, by the way.
No, nope, that's just what it is.
If you're a season ticket holder, guess what? You bought 10 games. You didn't buy 8.
No, I know. It's terrible. So that.
Well, Steve was just saying, we were talking in between shows, he's a season ticket holder, has been for years and years.
Yeah.
And he always gives away the preseason games.
Right.
Is what most people do.
Nice guy, but you know he doesn't want to go. That's why.
Well, most season ticket holders give away the preseason games. You got to be careful who you give them to. Because if you give them to some Nimrod who ends up getting arrested and bolted from the stadium, well, you pay the price for that.
Do you think players, and this might be a better question for Steve when he joins us tomorrow, do you think it's a better question for players, would they rather have 18 regular season games and 2 preseason games or 16 and 4?
I mean, if those are the only two options. Yeah, if those were the two options and you'd have to tell them they're making more money for 18. I'm not playing 18 games and getting paid for 16.
Right.
If you're increasing my rate of pay proportionately, then they would take that every time.
Let's say the pay is the same.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, right? Because the starters, they don't have to play full go in those 4 preseason games. There are some starters around the league that won't play in any of those games. There are some starters, like here in New England, that'll play a couple of those games, right? And they'll just sort of get what they get. You know, Gronk played last year, but for many years, he didn't play at all. Randy Moss famously didn't play a snap in the preseason the year that he had 23
and
touchdowns.
Great.
It was unbelievable. So I think they would probably, as fans, you're saying, all right, I'll watch this, but just please get to the regular season. Let's go. But for players, 18 regular season games, I mean, just think about how many injuries there are each week.
Exactly. You're already adding 2 more. Yeah. Games of train wrecks, which is what the regular season is.
But that's why I feel like the 4 preseason games is unfortunately here to stay, because every time the CBA comes up, the players might say, hey, how about less preseason games? And then the automatic counter would be, okay, let's add those to the regular season. And then they're going to pretend like they had some sort of agreement, and then the owners are going to end up with something else, and the players are going to get nothing, because they're going to always be able to threaten that.
TV ratings for tonight will be huge. Red Sox have the night off, as you just said.
Right, that helps.
So, you know, they kind of have the sports landscape to themselves. Tom Brady's supposed to play for the first time.
It's the Eagles. It's a Super Bowl rematch.
Okay, that's what
Lane Johnson.
It'll do a huge number. They'll do 12, 14, 15 or something.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, it's football. And like you said, Brady's going to play, and who knows how long he's going to play. Or at least he says he's going to play. Hopes to play.
Yeah, he doesn't make the call, as he likes to point out.
Right. He said all the right things.
By the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but Bill Belichick hasn't actually said that he's going
to
play.
So in my award-winning trending, when I said he's expected to play,
that was a nice hedge on that for you.
Is that fast and loose, or is that's covering myself? Expected.
No, he is. Yeah. Well, he said he expects to play.
He said that here.
But he always says, I always prepare because I expect to play.
No.
And then at some point or another. Look, I wouldn't mind a bit if Bill Belichick said, no, we're good.
Yeah,
prepare to play, Tom, but you're not going to play. I'd be fine with that.
But I am interested to see what he looks like with some of those guys, some of the new guys, because we've seen in years past, they either get it or they don't. Like the new receivers, they can be pretty good for you, like a Brandon LaFell. I know Brandon Lloyd got a lot of crap, but he actually wasn't bad. He would just immediately fall down every time he caught a pass, but he still caught a bunch of passes. And then, you know, Randy Moss is setting records. Wes Welker was unbelievable and all pro. But then you have the alternative, and you have guys that can't even make it through the preseason. You can get, you know, Torrey Holtz and Reggie Waynes, you know, Joey Galloway's, Chad Ochocinco, who somehow made it on the team all year. So where does Eric Decker, where does Cordell Patterson, where do some of these new guys fit in with Brady? And if one of them runs the wrong route tonight, I know it's just a preseason game, Brady's not going to forget that. That's going to be – he's always going to remember that. Or if a guy drops a pass on him on third down, you can't tell Brady, hey, it's just the preseason. I bet he's going to be pretty fired up about it.
He won't overreact. I don't think he will.
Maybe not outwardly.
Right,
but
not out.
He might overreact by saying, I'm never throwing to that guy again.
Well, I could see him, you know, when they're in the meeting room,
yeah,
you know, tomorrow or the next day, I could see him then saying, hey, come on.
What is wrong with you?
I don't think you'll see him slamming his helmet around out there.
You don't think he's going to punt a ball into the stands?
I don't think he'll punt a ball. Well, I was good. I applaud him for that. He should punt more balls into the stands.
Yeah, they make a big deal
out of J.J. Watt playing catch with kids before games.
Yeah.
Tom Brady should just be punting
footballs.
Just punt balls.
I bet. I'll
like
tell
Rod
you what.
Stewart when he's in concert. Kicks soccer balls into the crowd.
Is that right?
That's a real thing.
Rod Stewart kicks soccer balls into the crowd?
Oh, yeah, he's a big soccer guy. He kicks soccer balls into the crowd during his concerts.
Interesting.
Tom Brady, pregame, should just be punting footballs all over
the place. It was actually a pretty good punt for me, so I take it. Yeah, I don't think the drill necessarily ended the way I wanted to.
I think he's probably a pretty good punter, because I would imagine pliability would be super important for a punter. Like, because you see those guys when they're kicking, or just when they're warming up, they could basically kiss their knees, like when it flies up in the air like that. So I bet Brady's got some good punting skills.
I bet he's not a good punting skill. Right. Like, he did say it was a pretty good punt for
him.
Me.
Yeah. Well, he got it out of there.
It was actually a pretty good punt for me.
He got the point across. He got the point. He was upset. He was fired up.
What would be bad is if he attempted to do it and it only made it like halfway to the stands.
Yeah, like, bring it back. Give me another one. Get that ball.
So it gets as far as like Belichick on the sidelines and Bill says, here, Tom, you want to try that again?
No, but again, going back to that play earlier in the week in practice where he punted the ball, that was after a bad throw. And we know that there was a lot of drops that day, but that was the last competitive play of practice, and he threw it kind of high and behind James White. So that one was kind of on him, but he was just fired up with the whole thing.
Texter brings up a good point, and I had forgotten about this.
What's this?
They actually don't have the sports landscape to themselves tonight. And this is bad on Thursday. This is bad for me because
Thursday.
My other employer on Nesson,
yeah,
they're showing the Pawtucket Hot Wieners tonight.
I'm sorry?
The Pawtucket Hot Wieners are playing tonight.
The
on
Hot
Nesson.
Wieners?
Well, it's a thing in Rhode Island. If you lived in Rhode Island or near Rhode Island, you'd understand.
Careful, Dale. It's 10:20 a.m., not 10:20 p.m. If you'd like to explain Hot Wieners to the listener.
The Pawtucket Red Sox, for one night only.
Yeah?
Tonight, they've got the uniforms and the hats to prove it.
Okay.
Will be the Pawtucket Hot Wieners.
Okay. Is this...
That's just what they're called.
Where does this come from exactly?
In Rhode Island.
Yeah.
By the way, we would call them hot dogs, but in Rhode Island, they sell it all.
Something different? Is it like a Chicago
dog?
Yeah,
no, they put some stuff on it.
Do they?
Yeah, it's frankly not that tasty, to be honest with you.
Now, is it just hot, like temperature hot, or is it hot like a little spice to it?
A little both. Ooh. Yeah, a little both.
I think I'd like that.
So they actually, they're selling jerseys. By the way,
yeah,
you know you want a Pawtucket Hot Wieners jersey.
I do. Are they listening? Pawtucket, if you're listening, I'll take a hat, I'll take a shirt, I'll take whatever you got. Have you had a Hot Wiener?
Oh, of course, yeah. Okay. I have two kids who went to high school in Rhode Island.
Oh, so you couldn't, possibly
have
a Hot Wiener.
Of course I've had them.
Should we be like the guys that used to sit in these chairs and now like request Hot Wieners to be brought to the studio?
Yeah.
To try these out?
I'll take some Hot Wieners, sure. If you're in the area, we'll take Hot. We're here 10 to 2 every day. I'll take some Hot Wieners. Ross, you're a big burger guy. Are you a big dog guy, too?
No, I used to eat, like
hot wiener guy. You a hot wiener?
I've had hot wieners. I've had a ton of hot dogs, but I don't look at them like, you know, some people like really go deep. I think hot dogs are kind of basic. I don't think there's a ton you can.
Well,
do
you can. Well, you can. You can add a lot of things to
them.
Well, you
can. But I don't think it's like burgers have like you can do all different things with the meat. You can do a lot of different things. I think hot dogs are kind of just like you get the dog and then you just jazz it up.
Lucy, where do you stand on hot wieners?
I love hot wieners.
Thank you for that.
Good night, everybody. I think our job here is done. It's time to maybe head on out. You know, as my friend Conrad Thompson would say, it's time to roll the credits because we're probably not going to beat that. And we're just going to move on. Sad news from the world of entertainment this morning because this voice, unfortunately, has been silenced. Aretha Franklin passed away this morning at the age of 76. She's been in hospice care for a number of days now, but Aretha Franklin dead in her native Detroit at the age of 76 this morning.
These things happen in threes. You got Aretha Franklin, Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
I don't know that I would equate the two in terms
those
of
are the
you
two
know, impact.
Those aren't the two celebrity most recent celebrity deaths.
They are. You've got a point there.
So there's one more, TBD.
So that is all over your Twitter timeline today. The other thing that's all over your Twitter timeline today is something that happened last night in a baseball game. Ronald Acuna Jr.
Who's awesome.
Had hit a leadoff home run in three straight games. I believe he'd hit a home run in five straight games.
It was.
But he had led off the game with a home run in three straight games. So they're getting ready to play last night, and Jose Ureña decides, Well, he's not hitting a leadoff home run off of me. He drills him in the elbow with the first pitch of the game with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball that you could hear clearly when it crashed into him. Acuna was able to finish out the inning, left in the second inning. They don't think he's got a broken elbow. Jose Urania tried that fake tough guy stare down thing.
Yeah.
You know, after he hits him with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball in the elbow. And then that, what are you going to do about it? Well, if I'm the commissioner of Major League Baseball, what I'm going to do about it is suspend him for 20 games.
That's ridiculous.
20 games.
So what is that, four starts?
I hope so.
What a moron.
By the way, his own manager's pissed at him. His own clubhouse is pissed at him. Don Mattingly said, I told him I don't want to hit this guy.
Oh, I disagree. You can't get him out. You want to send a message? Drill him. He's been very comfortable at the plate, Dale.
You and Keith Hernandez, and I'd be real unsettled.
Don't lump me in with Keith Hernandez. I would be unsettled
if you and Keith Hernandez are on the same page.
In today's game, they don't throw with hitters. I don't think the hitters know. So they don't know how to get out of the way of the ball or know it's coming. And you hit three home runs, I'm sorry. You got to go down. You're going to lean over the plate? You're going to let them put a whooping on you? It's not going to happen. But I know it happens in today's game. And obviously, you've got the Marlins. I'm sure Don Mattingly ordered that. I don't think the pitcher out there did. Not today's pitchers. There was a day when you didn't have to tell a pitcher. He's getting his fanny kicked. He would knock someone down. So you've got a team that's out of it, that's retaliating again. That's just part of the baseball code. Cody, if someone's hitting home runs, they're leaning all over that plate. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you do that.
It was the first pitch, you moron!
What, he can't be leaning over the plate on the first pitch?
Let's see if you stay in there.
Did you see where he got hit?
It's baseball justice right there.
Justice.
Yeah, you can't get the guy out and drill him. He's a little comfortable. He got a little comfortable at the plate.
Absolutely.
So you send a message.
Ridiculous.
Send a message.
So if Jose Urania is dealing, you know, he's got a 27-inning scoreless streak going.
Yeah.
And it would be okay if Ronald Acuna Jr. started out the game by helicoptering the bat out to the mound, right?
I don't think so. Is that part of the game, throwing the bat?
Is throwing a baseball
ball every time?
That's intentionally.
That's his job. His job is to throw the ball.
Injuring a guy intentionally.
I don't think he knew he was going to injure him. He's trying to back him off the plate. And what does the guy do? He just stands there and takes it like an idiot right in the elbow. Get out of the way. Keith Hernandez is right. I'm not with Keith all the time on everything that he does necessarily.
I don't know that I'd be with Keith.
Not necessarily my favorite
part.
Guy. But if you can't get him out, that happens all the time.
If you can't get him out, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, he's a little bit too
Jose Urania is a coward. He is a chicken bleep.
Oh, he threw it high and tight. Actually, it wasn't even that high, though. If he threw it high, I would have been with you. If he threw it at his head, I'd be with you.
Look,
he didn't do that, though.
I wouldn't like it if he hit him in the ass. He would still be wrong. First pitch of the game. You know, you've hit home runs off us the last three nights, so obviously I can't get you out.
Comfortable at bats. He's been very comfortable at the plate. He says it's not going to be that comfortable. So he threw it about belt high. So I'm okay with it. I'm fine. If you want to throw him out of the game, if you think he definitely did it on purpose, you want to throw him out of the game.
I don't think there's any doubt he did it on purpose. You don't doubt he did it on purpose.
It got away from him.
Wait. Even Don Mattingly didn't try that.
Oh, Don Mattingly doesn't know anything. What did Urania say? He said, I threw a bad pitch. Something like that was his quote. Yeah, so.
For a long time. And for us, he's beat us up. But the way to. This is not the way we want to handle that situation.
That's his own manager.
Well,
you
got to get on the same page there, Don. Urania said, I made the bad pitch. I missed my spot inside on the corner the way I wanted to start with him. I tried to get inside to move him. He's just going for that inside corner, Dale. It's only a matter of a few inches. he was trying to pick corners.
You're the one person on the planet who thinks that he wasn't trying to hit him.
No, he was. He was.
He was Acuna's
been on fire.
And the whole fake stare down. Oh, yeah, you're a tough guy.
Well, he did drill. Yeah, I don't know if he really wants to fight him necessarily, but he did. He drilled him. Take your base and move on. Now, this is also pretty telling. The first pitch was clocked at 97.5 miles per hour. The fastest pitch Urania has ever thrown to open a game. That not according to Elias, that according to ESPN stats and information. So he was locked in. He was fired up. But Acuna's been killing him. I don't think so. Do you think guys should never get thrown at, or guys should never throw at another guy?
I think that, that there are instances where you could justify it.
What would one of those be, you think?
If you Cadillac around the bases.
Oh, no way, Dale. No, what? No,
but and then you take one in the backside.
Yeah.
I could sort of understand.
Oh, my God.
You're the first batter of the game.
Yeah.
The first pitch of the game.
I know, but he's been killing them.
And
he's been killing everybody.
I'm going to throw the hardest pitch I've ever thrown in my life off your elbow.
If
he shatters the elbow, then what?
But if the guy moves his elbow up, it does hit him in the hip or in the butt.
Right on the butt cheek.
Right. That's where it was headed. He just left his elbow hanging there. So I think in baseball, there are times to hit guys. And now in this case, now Atlanta has every reason to then retaliate at the Marlins. And they can pick and choose whenever they want to do that. Hopefully you do it sooner. You don't want to linger. You don't want to carry this thing over for too long. But they should be able to seek some revenge against them.
This is sort of, in some respects, it's sort of like the Red Sox last year. Because the stuff I read after the game, his own clubhouse was mad at him. Players on his own team were pissed at him.
Well, they're probably mad in the sense that, okay, now they're going to be thrown at us. And for what? Just because this guy's on fire? But I think there is something to be said for that. If a guy, and I think even, I want to say, was it Eckersley? Somebody on the Red Sox broadcast this year has said, you know, with J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, when those guys are going the way they're going, maybe the other team, maybe not necessarily drilling them, but they're very comfortable at the plate. You probably want to back them off a little bit
and let
them know that.
Back them off a little bit. He threw it.
But there's a fine line between,
right straight through the batter's box.
No, I know. But
he didn't back him off the plate.
But he could have sent him tumbling if the guy got out of the way. He just stood there and took it.
I think 97 miles an hour straight at
you. It's coming at
you
pretty quick.
It's a little tough to. Whoa!
It's coming at you pretty quick. But hit him in the elbow. I don't hate it. When a guy is that locked in, that's sometimes what you have to do.
I would suspend him for 20 games.
I would suspend him for 0 games.
Well, we absolutely will disagree on that
one. He's going to get suspended.
We all know
it'll probably
know
be
that
actually in between. You say 20, I say 0, it'll probably be 10.
Which, you know, when you're a starting pitcher,
it's ridiculous.
Games, right? You know, a 2-game suspension. Now, if Acuña had gone out to the mound and punched Urania in the mouth, he'd have gotten 5. Acuña would have gotten 5.
If he'd gone out and punched him in the mouth, he'd have gotten 5.
Yeah.
But then I bet Urania would get even more because he sort of then really incited that whole thing. You know, like so if you're the one who began it, he's retaliating to you, and then the whole thing goes down, and then there'd probably be a lot more suspensions going around.
He didn't exactly do a very good job of trying to hide it, you know, with the stare down and then looking into the dugout and, you know, the glove down on the ground.
Yeah, he wasn't really. He didn't seem to be all that apologetic because sometimes.
So in other words, he couldn't even claim accident.
No,
like I'm so sorry.
He was looking for that inside corner. Got away from him.
Yeah, that's what he sure did.
That's what he was saying there. But yeah, everybody else was fired up, and like you said, everybody on both teams were fired up. I mean, it was unanimous with the Braves, as it would be.
Well, of course, that's their teammate.
But his own teammates are mad. Yeah, the Marlins are upset. But that's because they know they're going to get drilled too. And they're thinking, all right, just because you don't think this guy can, you can't get him out, but now they're going to be thrown at one of us at some point, and we don't know when.
Now, we've got some folks, as is often the case, who are saying, oh, come on, Dale, what are you, a puss? I mean, come on. Okay,
well,
so,
that's one way of putting it, I suppose.
So Mookie Betts leads off and takes the 97-mile-an-hour pitch in the elbow because he's having a real good year, you know? Tough to get him out.
If I was a pitcher, I'd think about it.
And you'd be okay with that, right?
I would definitely do it.
I would no, if you're a Red Sox fan,
well,
you'd
no,
say,
I mean,
oh,
that's my
well,
guy.
You know what? He's hitting really well, so.
Yeah, I definitely would. Mookie Betts sets the tone. We've been talking about it all season. So if you're trying to beat the Red Sox, you're trying to beat Mookie Betts, I would definitely throw at him. Of course, if I was a pitcher on the other team, of course I would. As a Red Sox fan, I wouldn't love it. You just hope he doesn't get hurt. You take first base. Maybe you steal second, make him pay, and then, you know, Benintendi drives him in. You're up one zip just because that guy wanted to prove a point. You know, you got to find a way to make him pay. But I don't think that's the worst thing to do. I think it just doesn't happen in Major League Baseball that much. That was one of the things Keith Hernandez was saying. Like, guys don't really throw at guys. Guys aren't used to the ball coming in at them. But
maybe if you're not if you're not physically capable of doing it the right way, maybe you shouldn't do it.
He didn't throw it at his head, though. If he threw it at his head, I would be right there with you.
He didn't throw it at his butt, either.
It was about belt high.
I was higher than that.
His elbow's hanging down.
But he scrunched up. You know, it was the only move he could make. It was up here.
And ribs
where
more?
He hit him.
Yeah, yeah, more ribs probably. But clearly not helmet high. Like, it wasn't Matt Barnes throwing at Manny Machado
which
high.
I hated as well.
So did I. That's the one thing you can't do because it is very dangerous. But if you're trying to – you should be able to pitch inside. You should be able to send a message from time and time again.
Ironically, well, maybe it's not ironic because you agree with Keith Hernandez.
I do.
None of the other baseball people that I watched last night agree with Keith Hernandez.
Well, I'm a baseball person, Dale. You know that.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, Jim Thome and all these others, they were unanimous, killing him for this. And they were talking about lengthy suspensions as well. You know, you can't let a guy take a star out of the game just because you can't figure out how to get him out.
But I also don't think it's fair if you do this, and then you're just telling – so every guy who digs into the batter's box will have no fear of the ball getting thrown at them. Like, I think that should be a part of it. Like, if you're facing a guy that throws 98, you got to know that, like, hey, this could get away from him, or he might really pitch inside. But if you're completely taking that out, now guys, because some of them don't have pinpoint accuracy, so now guys are going to be going up there. Yeah, I want to pitch inside, but if it hits them, what am I going to get, 20 games? I don't think that's good either.
Baseball needs stars. Ronald Acuna Jr. is a star.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And he is playing great. And this Nimrod has decided, well, I'm just going to take him out.
But to Urena's credit, we are talking about Ronald Acuna in Boston radio because of this. We haven't talked much about him during the season, you know, and this is.
But I'm not sure that Urena gets much credit for that. But
but that's what it is. Ronald Acuna, who, you know, baseball fans know him, fantasy baseball fans know him, but your average fan doesn't really know about him yet. You're going to. This might be the first time you're hearing of him. He's a great young player who has a bright future ahead of him. But now we're talking about him because he got drilled by Jose Urena.
It probably won't happen until next year. But at some point, Jose Urena is going to have to get into the batter's box against that team.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I think we know what's going to happen there.
And although I don't like the idea of trying to hurt a guy, I would understand it if Atlanta says, you know what?
Oh,
remember
eye
what
for
he
eye.
Did?
I'm fine
You're
with that.
You're a big eye for an eye guy?
Big eye for
well,
an eye guy.
Well, as much
Huge
as you advocate carrying a grudge. So.
Yeah, right. Why not? They should. So, you know, he's going to have to tread lightly. He's going to be up there with 1 foot out of the box when he goes in.
He won't even have a bat.
They don't throw with hitters. I don't think the hitters know. So they don't know how to get out of the way of a ball or know it's coming.
Thanks, Keith.
That's your guy.
That ball's going to hurt me. I'm just going to stand here.
That's your guy.
He was bringing it with some heat, though. So
617-779-7937. Steve's on the truck phone. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Keith, I normally respect your opinion a lot, but when you
Thank
talk
you.
Like a horse, you know what?
Thank you.
You know, let me ask you a question. You're saying he's very comfortable with the plate, right?
Yes.
Well, if a pitcher's very comfortable, like Chris Sale, and he's striking out like 12 guys in 5 innings, and I want to get him uncomfortable, what's to stop me from throwing my bat at his legs, not at his head, taking out his legs so he can't drive the pitch?
I don't think there's a lot of bat throwing in baseball normally.
Oh,
Steve.
It slipped. You know, stuff happens.
Well, yeah.
If I'm a what? Guy hitting home runs and you can't get me out, you throw the ball at me. Guess what? Next time I come up the bat's coming up your head. I don't really give a hell what they do. That's what I'm doing to you.
Pitch is a part of it. Every single play in baseball starts with a pitch. That's what this was. It was a very inside pitch. It was a message sender. If you start throwing bats, Steve, I feel like it's a little bit different. There are other things you can do to get into a pitcher's head if you want. You can step out. You can call time. You can do all kinds of stuff.
You know, you really can't step out of the box that many times now because
they don't let you anymore.
You call time. I got something in my eye. I got time in my shoe.
Yeah, well,
you could do it.
I have something in his eye, my fist.
And now you're going to fight him?
That's what. I'd have more respect for him if he fought him than if he hit him with a 97 mile an hour.
Steve, everything okay? You're talking about throwing bats and punching guys in the face?
It's fine. And then my truck listens to you. I'm getting seething mad because what he said, and I agree 100% with Dale, but if I'm the commissioner, he's getting 30 games. I'm sorry.
Jeez. Well, you'd be a tough commissioner.
I think, unfortunately, Keith may be right, and that 10 would probably be the tops, which means he's going to miss two starts.
Two starts.
Which doesn't mean anything to me. I don't think it means anything to him. If you give him 20 games, well, now you're talking 4 starts. Now you're sending the message that, you know what, there are unwritten rules in baseball. We understand that. But you can't do that. They have a rule in baseball, and the umpires threw him out because of intent. They have a rule specifically that says you can't do that.
So Atlanta and Miami play each other one more time, it looks like, this season. They have a 4-game series in Miami, but it does not look like Urena is scheduled to start there.
Well, he may not be available
to
start there.
That's true.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line 37937. As the day goes on, we will obviously continue to talk about the Patriots and Eagles tonight at Gillette Stadium. But we've begun talking about the beanball last night. Haven't seen anything yet from the commissioner. Yeah, he got thrown out of the game immediately by the umpires last night, Jose Urania. I would expect that at some point today, Major League Baseball will take it under advisement, shall we say.
They just might. Yeah, he'll probably get whatever, how many games, then he'll appeal, knock off a couple of games. It's just how the process works every single time.
They give him a 5-game suspension, then it's really a laugh riot, right?
Right.
Oh, you mean I miss my next start?
It's like he gets an extra day off, basically.
Matt's in Wilmington. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dale. I got so many issues with you on this. The only reason why this is a big deal is because it was the first pitch of the game. Let's not act like this is the first time a pitcher has knocked a guy off the plate or thrown at him when he's killing them in a series to get him uncomfortable. If he does that even in a later count in the first at-bat, or he does it in the second at-bat, it's not as big of a deal. And then you talk about...
No, but intent matters, Matt. You're exactly right. It was the very first pitch of the game, the hardest pitch he's ever thrown in a major league game, and he hits
to start a game,
yeah. and he drills him right in the elbow.
Yeah, intent matters, and it's Urania's fault that he's an idiot and doesn't know how to hide it anymore. He wanted to puff out his chest, and that's his stupid mistake. Well, it's not comparing the two pitchers' skill, but what they did. You talk about Pedro Martinez. This was in his repertoire.
Absolutely.
Ask Gerald Williams. Ask, let's see about Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens and a lot of great pitchers. They threw at guys with intent. They knocked guys down with intent to serve a purpose. And a lot of times it was a guy who was owning them. So let's not like sacrifice this arrangement.
I mean,
something that's been happening for 100 years.
I'm with you, Matt.
I have a hard time. I can't back it up with facts just sitting here off the top of my head. I have a hard time believing Pedro ever drilled the first batter of a game with the first pitch of a game because that guy's been wearing him out. First of all, not that many guys wore him out. But
batter of the game. That's what I mean. If it wasn't the
what's the difference?
First pitch,
no, I'm saying I
who cares?
Yeah, what does it matter? It's still, you're talking about intent. So in the third inning, there's also intent.
Oh, Pedro told us one time he never hit anybody that he wasn't trying to.
Right. And I mean, go through the game logs.
And there are times when I understand that guys get hit. I'm not sitting here saying every batter who ever gets hit, the pitcher should be suspended, should be thrown out.
No, but to Matt's point, and it's a good question, why does the first batter matter compared to the 15th batter?
Because it was pretty clear that what Urania was doing was saying, we can't get this guy out, so I'm going to take him out.
No, I know, but
I'm going to take him out.
He could have done that in the second inning. And
it wouldn't have been as big a deal.
So I don't get that. It's still the same guy. So Pedro Martinez hit 141 guys in the regular season in his career.
It was probably hyperbole when he said hit.
But let's say 100 of them were on purpose.
I think most of the time, with his control, if he hits you, it's because he wanted to hit you.
Right. Absolutely. And I think
I'm saying there are times when I'm okay with that.
And
it's okay for pitchers to hit guys.
I thought
last night's was not the same thing.
I think guys can hit guys. I think they can throw at them. I don't want them to throw at their head. Other than that, I think it's fair game. And the reasons to do it, one of the obvious reasons to do it is retaliation. And you're like, okay, well, retaliating from what? And then the other part is guys, when they're super hot at the plate, sometimes the pitcher needs to make it uncomfortable for them. And they either throw it inside or they'll drill them. And whether it's the first pitch of the game or the 50th pitch of the game, I think it's fine. Now, Matt's point was also right. Urania acts like a jackass after the fact, and that's not really going to help his cause.
They should be suspended for stupidity, if nothing else.
You know what? Fine. If that's what they label it as, then fine. Because you can't act like that and then in the postgame say, oh, I was looking for the corner. They don't really add up. If you just stand there on the mound and just you can stare at him, but don't come walking down the mound like you're going to fight him also. Like, no, you just threw your best punch. It was 97.5 miles an hour, and it hit him in the elbow. That's the most you're going
to
do.
You were trying to put him out of the game, and you did.
Well,
took another half inning. He went to first. He finished out the inning.
So that's
and
where
then
I
they
disagree
said, you know
with
what, you got
to
go.
I disagree with you that he was trying to injure him. I think that's obviously that is a side effect, but how many guys get hit, it hurts, but you go take your base? In fact, he did. He went and took his base. He had to come out of the game. But I don't think he said there, he goes, I'm going to injure this guy. I think he said, I'm going to make this at-bat very uncomfortable, and his future at-bats give him something to think about. If I hit him in the ribs or the butt, fine. I don't think he was aiming for the elbow.
I'd agree with you if he was trying to back him off the plate. He wasn't trying to back him off the plate.
No, he was trying to hit him.
He was trying to hit him.
Right.
So it wasn't he wasn't trying to make him uncomfortable.
But his next at-bat,
he was trying to drill him.
But his future at-bats, that game, assuming he stays in the game, how do you not think about that? Like, last time I was up, I got hit by 97. So maybe I'm not really leaning into the next pitch. Maybe I'm not. You know, I think it just it gives him something to consider. And I think that's fine.
The idea, and Mattingly, in fact, is the one who said, look, we want to get the guy out. We don't want to do that.
Right.
The idea that what Urania is basically saying is, I don't think I can get you out.
No.
I'm not as good as you are. I can't get you out, so.
Or he's saying, you know what, I'm going to do this, and then the next time I feel like I have a better chance of getting you out. Right? Because he's the guy's so locked in, and now he goes up there, he's like, man, last time I faced this guy, two innings ago, he hit me 97 in the butt or in the hip or something. Like, I'm not feeling great about it.
I'll say this about Pedro as well, and he absolutely, he told us, he hardly ever hit anybody that he wasn't trying to hit. I bet of the 140 guys that he hit, I bet the vast majority of them, in his mind, were, I'm hitting this guy to protect a teammate.
I bet a lot of them were. Yeah, sure.
You know, I'm protect. They hit my guy,
yeah.
So one of their guys is going down.
But some of them we know, too, were, you know, a guy would say something about Pedro, or they'd say something about the Red Sox, and he would then just take it out on him. This is what Ronald Acuna Jr. was doing against Miami. So it was a four-game series. Atlanta swept the series, so they'd won every single game. The first game, he went 2-for-3 with a home run and a double. The second game, he went 3-for-5 with a home run. The third game, he went 3-for-5 with two home runs. So he had, 9 RBI, 4 home runs in the series, and 7 runs scored. I mean, he was more than on fire in the series. So then the first time he comes up there, boom, he gets drilled.
617-779-7937. Chuck is up in Maine. Hi, Chuck.
Gentlemen, good morning.
What's up, Chuck?
Good morning.
So you're saying retaliation is okay, Keith. Is that what I'm hearing, sir?
Retaliation?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually think retaliation
is okay. Bring it on.
Okay, but what happened when the Sox and Yankees played a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when Gardner got hit in the first inning, Severino comes back and throws at Betts, and Cora comes out like a little girl screaming because they both got warnings. That was not okay, though. Retaliation is okay except against Boston.
I didn't say that. I don't speak for Cora. I think he was also upset about the warnings and things like that, more so than the retaliation. I said, Dale just asked me, what if a guy threw at Mookie Betts? I said, they should. He's so good, I'd throw at him too. So I have no problem. I got nothing to do with that.
Not at the head area, but
right. No. Yeah. For sure. Never at the head. Anywhere else. Go for it. If that's what you want to do, guy's gonna take his base.
That Sunday night game. I think it was Embry that threw at Shane Robinson high and tight when he was trying to sacrifice.
Right.
A couple of times.
Yeah, I didn't like him throwing that high, but yeah.
His waist or his thigh. Don't throw up at his head.
No, I'm with you on that. I hated when Matt Barnes did it last year. He threw right up at Machado's head. I hated that.
I was. I just looked up the video of when Pedro hit Gerald Williams to start the game. Remember the Tampa Bay game? No, it wasn't first pitch, but it was the first. He was the leadoff hitter, bottom of the first. It was in Tampa.
Yeah.
And he hit him almost the exact same area
that
Acuna got hit last night. And
did he get suspended for that?
Williams charged the mound. There was a big bench-clearing brawl. In fact, Brian Dunn, because Williams started up the first baseline and took a quick left turn.
Okay.
And by the time Veritek got to him, he had already taken a swing or two at Pedro at that point. My guess is Pedro hit him on purpose.
I think it's a pretty good guess.
Now, I believe that's the game that Pedro basically, you know, threw shutout ball for 9 innings after that.
Yeah, he was pretty much, what was it, like a one-hitter?
One-hitter,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Now, he doesn't have the same kind of clout as Pedro. That's why I also wonder if it wasn't Jose Urena and it was Jacob deGrom, or if it was Chris Sale, like, would this story be a little bit different? If it was like a big, like a Pedro, for example. I mean, it was then,
right,
but that was also 18 years ago or whatever it was. But if this was a Cy Young candidate doing that, I wonder if sort of the way the story is being told would be a little bit different.
It's entirely possible. But
it's star young player who's locked in
who
at the
is
plate.
Just dealing.
Yeah, he's killing it versus a guy who, you know, Jose Urena is, 4.74 ERA. He's 3-12. I mean, it's below average, just a scrub pitcher on the other side. So no, I think there's also less. So you were talking before how Keith Hernandez is the only one really on the side of Urena. I think a big part of it is because of who it is. Again, I think
one of the young stars of the game.
Yeah,
Yeah. And you know, but, which baseball needs more of, by the way.
But who both of them are. Like, if it was a more veteran pitcher, I think there'd be more guys taking his side just because of the relationships there. Like, if it was Verlander, not that Verlander would necessarily do it, but if it was him, you'd have more of the veteran baseball guys being like, you know what, Verlander knows what he's doing. Like, I don't think people trust Urena to know what he's doing.
617-779-7937. Now, this was a real baseball brawl. I mean, last night it was sort of, you know, I'll come out by the first baseline.
Check it out.
I will speak harshly with you.
Right.
You know, there wasn't anything that ultimately happened.
Yeah.
But watching this Red Sox-Tampa brawl, it was the real deal.
Oh, that was serious. All the infielders, I mean, guys got on the ground.
Well, Dalbec got hurt. He was trying to jump
rare
in there.
A rare injury
in
baseball
brawls don't usually get you hurt a lot.
Even when they throw punches, because most of them miss, like 99% of punches miss. A lot of standing around. But when you have guys going full speed and the tackling, I like a nice jersey rip. I look for that. Like when a guy grabs a jersey and it's like untucked, he looks disheveled.
I like the running ninja kick.
That's not
bad. That's a class move, isn't it?
I remember the James Shields Coco Crisp. That was a good bout. He was throwing punches and Coco Crisp was kind of like Matrix dodged him. There were some good ones there.
Want me to excite you? Twitter.
Yes, I
do.
The Paw Sox just tweeted, "Hey, Dale and Keefe, thanks for the shout-out on the air. We've got some Pawtucket Hot Wieners gear on the way."
They also just called. I gave them the address. They will be here shortly.
Oh, this, Dale,
the best
are looking
ever.
Up. We got nothing when we were in the afternoons. We're getting everything in the middays. This is the best news ever. I was having a good day anyway. And now I know we got Hot Wiener gear on the way.
Hot Wiener
Dale,
gear.
I am on a high right now. I am on an absolute high right now. That is exciting. Thank you, Pawtucket. Go check out the game tonight. If you're down in the area, go check it out.
I love Hot Wieners.
Thank you, Lucy.
And thank you, Lucy.
Yes.
I will say this. It's a pretty cool-looking jersey.
It's an awesome jersey. I know a couple of friends of mine already pre-ordered the hats. That's how I'd heard about it. They have the Hot Wiener hats.
Yes, they do.
They were like, you can't miss this. This is exciting. This, Dale, my day has been
best
made.
Day
this is incredible.
Ever.
This is incredible. Thank you, Pawtucket.
Pawtucket Hot Wiener stuff on the way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.